Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we're going to be getting, into a conversation, around sports betting, in South Africa, and I guess, other parts of the world, because it does feel as if there's a lot more attention and, investment dollars going into this particular space, a space that I've been looking at myself. Some interesting, statistics, that do come around the size of the sports betting market. In Africa, we've been seeing a lot of, a lot of deals, being made in this particular respect. I believe, recently, it was MultiChoice that had its, largest, deal where they're buying into a company. And that was, that was around, what's going on in that, specific market. So, we do see a lot of action, from that point of view. So for today, we are joined by Retief Ace, who is the head of Yield over at Sporting Bet, and we're just going to be having a conversation just around some of the reasons why sports betting is booming in South Africa. Retief, greetings to you today.
Hi Mudiwa, thanks for having me. Nice to be here.
So let's just get a lay of the land very quickly, Retief. When we talk about, your particular company, maybe you could give us the your elevator pitch just around what it is that you guys do before we get started.
Yeah, sure. At Sporting Bet, we provide sports betting and casino products to players in South Africa. We're licensed by the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board. We basically provide a form of entertainment, which is online gambling.
I remember when, one of the things that I've covered is the fact that you have big players such as MultiChoice that have been getting quite involved in this particular space. Because that's one of the spaces that I look at, and some of the statistics that come out, especially from the National Gambling Board, are quite astounding. I actually was not even aware. They said that gross gambling revenue in 2022 into 2023, that financial year, more than doubled from a year earlier to 47.2 billion rand, according to their according to their statistics, right? And that's just only for South Africa. But, in reading some of what you had to write, I believe you have, even more color that you can give us just around, what the size of the market is looking like.
Yeah, I think the market is definitely growing, especially in the last few years. Online sports betting has been around for quite some time, but I think the real growth has come in the last, let's say, 2 years, more or less. And part of that growth is through online casino. So online casino is now licensed and regulated in South Africa, and that's been a big driving force in revenues, at least one of the things.
Mm. So one of the things that I'm interested then is, for yourself in your role, right, when we talk about Yield, right, on this platform, the only time we ever really hear the word yield is when we're talking to economists or, fixed income specialists about the bond market, right? That's where we typically hear the word yield. The word we typically hear on this platform, because we talk to a lot of portfolio managers and business people, is return. But your context, when we're talking about yield, what are you specifically looking at?
Well, I think, my role involves retention mostly. So yield is kind of the umbrella for, I think, retention. So I make sure that as a business, we extract good value out of our players, and that we entertain them thoroughly. and that they stick around with us rather than go to a competitor. So yield in that sense is more about, let's call it revenue maximization for us as a business.
Okay, cool. And when it comes to, I guess, some of, some of that, I would be guessing that some of the gamification around, things like sports betting probably feed into, this type of discussion.
Yes, I think, I come from a numbers and mathematical background. So my role basically involves the use of data to firstly profile players, understand where there's touch points to thrill them. At Sportingbet, our kind of motto is to thrill the fan. So firstly, I profile players, I identify the touch points where we can thrill them. And then secondly, also identify the areas where we haven't been thrilling them and then make sure that we correct that and give them a great entertainment experience.
Oh, okay.
And part of that is it comes with a product. So within sports betting, there's obviously a lot of sports and a lot of markets. There's some interesting bets. And all of those are touch points to thrill our players.
Are you able to maybe give us an idea of, maybe with some historical context, what has tended to work when it comes to, sports betting versus where we are now? One of the things that you explained just a few minutes ago is to say that one of the drivers in a country like South Africa is the fact that, you now have more online casinos, for example. For the layman, the uninitiated, someone who's not familiar with this world, is it basically the same things that you're doing in a physical casino that you're doing online, or are there any perhaps differences that you can take advantage of in an online space that, yeah?
Well, yeah, I think for online casino, there's a few advantages, I'd say, compared to the land-based casinos. Firstly, it's ease of access. You don't have to drive anywhere. Do it in the comfort of your own home. So that's easy. And secondly, I do think there's a bit of differentiation. Maybe you've heard this before, maybe not, but a game that I must mention is Aviator. Which is a crash game. It's basically a plane that flies away, and the further the plane flies, the more payout you get. And that's incredibly popular in the whole of South Africa. And I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think you get that in the land-based setup. It's more traditional slots, table games, and things like that. So at Sportingbet, we have all of those, plus a few interesting other games that you wouldn't get in the land-based setup.
And how far does, the awareness piece become part of the equation? And once again, not that I'm forced to, but I'm interested in the comparison, right? Because you've literally just said that there's easier access, right? And I'm just wondering, in terms of making someone aware that they can, get involved with some of these activities, there's obviously a difference between letting someone know, look, there's a casino over there versus, maybe, I don't know, a pop-up as you are, scrolling online that lets you know, hey, you can get involved and, do something here.
Yeah, I think... In South Africa, at the moment, if you open any, if you watch any big sporting event, you'll probably see a gambling-related ad, potentially more than one, actually normally more than one. And I think, that's driven that awareness. There's a lot of competition in the market. A lot of operators are competing for that advertising space. That awareness is being driven in general. And I think, it's an easy conversion process from there. So if a player sees an ad, whether that's on Google or social media or television, then it's an easy conversion process. It normally takes, 30 seconds to 1 minute to sign up an account. Normally the regulatory stuff like FICA and players is done automatically through tools that we have. So it's really easy. And within probably 5 minutes, you can have your first bet. Whereas going to a land-based casino, you would need to get into your car, drive there. It's a much longer process. So I think that's another area where online betting is getting the growth from.
From an educational point of view, just maybe to touch further on what you're talking about, that friction of, how easy it is to actually get started, right? Maybe you could talk to us, for lack of a better term, I'm just going to call it KYC, right? What's the KYC physically versus the KYC online?
To be honest, I have no idea what happens in the physical space. I've always been in online, so I can't comment on that. but in the online space, you basically sign up with your details. We have tools that look that up in a central database. It confirms your identity, basically everything about you. If your details match what's in the central database, then you get KYC approved. So that's the first step. And then secondly, once you withdraw funds above a certain level or certain amount, then you would need to submit docs for additional verification.
Okay, that makes sense. Because one of the things I was just going to, ask about is to say where we are now, right? Because we are talking about this evolution and obviously our big focus is what's going on in the online is in the online space. Has that affected, I guess, demographics in any way? For you right now, whatever you can share, just around what the demographics look like. Is it because our idea is that it's men who bet, right? It's men that like some of the big sports. Football or soccer for the Americans is a big one. And I think traditionally in South Africa, horse races, that type of thing, was two of the big sports, a big demographic around, men and that type of thing. Is that still the same skew or have there been any changes?
Well, at Sporting Bet, things are definitely changing. I'm not sure about other operators, but at Sporting Bet, I think the landscape is definitely changing. So it's like you say, let's say 10 years ago or so, it would have been a male-dominated space. It would have been sports betting. Popular products would have been football, cricket, rugby, and horse racing, of course, those kind of sports. But nowadays, we're seeing a lot of growth in the female segment. So when online casino games became legalized, we definitely saw a growth in the female consumer. I think the stat on our side is in 2022, about 20% of our new signups were female. And for last year, it grew to 40%. And I'm anticipating that it's going to probably this year normalize around that 50-50 mark. So I think the products that we can offer as an online operator has definitely caused some growth in the female segment. So it's definitely not male dominated anymore.
And what do you guys as a company perhaps attribute that growth to? Is it higher earning power on the side of women in South Africa? Is it an awareness game? And also from a psychology point of view, because I guess the view is that women are more risk averse, is it a greater risk appetite? Like, what are we looking at here?
Yeah, I think if you look at the sports, I think that is probably a male-heavy kind of product just by its nature. Where casino, I think, is if you enjoy gambling, then you're going to engage with casino. And that is very much 50-50 between males and females. And I think to maybe touch on your risk-averse point, you know, the amount of money you typically stake on a casino game is a lot less than on sports. So perhaps that plays into the female segment that might be a little bit more risk averse, and that's the product that they enjoy. So as soon as we got casino games online, we definitely saw the growth. So I think the female segment is engaging with that. It's difficult to say exactly why, but we're certainly seeing that.
Okay. And I guess, like what you're saying, the ticket sizes or the bets are typically small ones?
Yes. So for a slot, you would typically bet a few rands, maybe less than 10 rands a spin for the typical player, where the minimum bet at Sportingbet for a sport game is 10 rand. And I think, you know, the game time or the entertainment time you get out of a slot game for a specific spend that you commit is longer. It's also a continuous process, so you have continuous engagement. Whereas with sports, it's you place a bet, you wait, the bet results, and then you place again. So your engagement time on a sports bet is typically a bit lower than for casino. So, yeah.
All right. That makes a lot of sense. That's actually an interesting, what you call this dynamic, you know, that you're pointing out there. But I want to maybe switch over to the sports themselves. You know, coming back to the fact that you guys are, you know, Sportingbet. So, you know, that's the core, right? I mentioned just now, you know, horse racing. I mentioned football, you know, as being traditionally, you know, two sports that have, you know, garnered, you know, big audiences when it comes to gambling. In the South African context, especially where we have the big three of you know, you've got the soccer, you've got cricket, and you've got rugby as being sort of the big national sports. What is the spread when it comes to gambling, you know, around sports? What's popular right now? I've just mentioned these three, including sports and including horse racing, but, you know, for all I know, people are now placing bets on like paddle or something.
Well, interesting one while you're speaking about paddle is we've seen big growth in darts. It's off a small base, but it's definitely growing at a rapid rate, and I think that speaks to the broadcasting and where the whole dart scene is at the moment. I think it's a bit more exciting than a few years ago. I actually believe the dart series is coming to Cape Town next year, I think. So I think there's going to be some more interest. But in terms of popular sports for Sportingbet, it would be football, number one by far. It's definitely, we definitely get the most revenue out of it. And also we have the most active players in general out of football. Second is surprisingly basketball. So there's a big interest in South African basketball.
And as sporting bet, did you say basketball?
Basketball, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So, at Sporting Bet, we have a really good basketball, product. So the bet types and that sort of thing that you can get, at us is really good. And there's a big part of the local market that bets basketball with us because that product is so good. Then you also get tennis is number three. And then you get rugby and cricket. So I think the popularity of a sport in general doesn't necessarily mean people are going to bet on it. Football for sure, but cricket and rugby is not really second and third. It's actually basketball and tennis for us.
That is fascinating. I didn't know that there were that many people watching basketball and tennis for it to be such a big gambling market to begin with.
Yeah, I think it will obviously differ from operator to operator, but that's certainly what we're seeing at Sportingbet.
And when it comes to, maybe we can just touch specifically on those two sports. When it comes to, let's say, basketball, right? What type of leagues are we looking at? Is it local leagues? Is it the NBA? Is it like, what is it?
Yeah, it's mostly NBA. I'd say probably about 80% is NBA, so the typical American basketball. Yeah, that's definitely the most popular league in terms of basketball.
And when it comes to tennis?
Tennis is, the majors are big, so there's a lot of action around the majors. Wimbledon is normally number one. And then the big ATP and WTA events as well. Those also get big interest.
Okay, so Roland Garros and all of those. Okay, that's, yeah, okay, cool.
They're up there, yes, definitely.
All right. No, that's definitely, what you call this, that's definitely fascinating. And I guess one of the things that I'm also keen to get a sense, you know, from your side is, I guess we spoke about risk appetite as it pertains to women just now. But because you're looking at, you know, yield and that type of thing, what can you say to, what can you say, at least on your platform, about risk appetite, you know, from your customers when it comes to sports in particular?
Yeah, there's a few interesting numbers I can tell you. In terms of football, the risk appetite is normally a bit lower. So the average bet size, which is the average amount players is risking on an outcome, is typically lower. That's more or less about 70 Rand for us. But part of that is we get a lot of multiple bets, which is a type of bet. It's basically a bet, it's a sequence bet pretty much. So it's, you select, for argument's sake, Man United, Chelsea, and Arsenal to win. If all three of those outcomes win, then you win the bet. And you typically get a very big payout then. So you get a much bigger payout compared to just betting on one team to win. For those type of bets, the average bet size is a lot smaller. So people tend to bet small amounts to win big amounts. That's very popular in football. When it comes to sports that are, well, sports like basketball, which we get a lot more single betting, which is just you bet on one thing to happen. There we get there's a much bigger risk appetite. So we typically get an average bet of about 350 around there.
Mm. And one of the things I was curious about as you were talking is, in a South African sense, like how exotic or derivative does it become? Because I know that in other markets, you can literally, you know, take a bet on the fact that you think, you know, X player is going to have maybe 5 rebounds in a game, you know, or how many corner kicks is this guy going to, you know, be, yeah, that type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very popular, actually. And I think that's also a strength of Sporting Bet. We have a wide array of markets. And the type of things you've mentioned now, we definitely have. And yeah, people tend to engage with that. I think the beauty of that is it's a way to kind of buy into a game. So if you watch a football match and you're rooting for a certain number of corners or whatever it might be, then it's kind of like a game within the game. So it's a nice way to kind of stay in throughout the game and not just root for one team to win.
Interested in that, you know, from a product point of view, right? For some of those more, I'm just using the word derivative things, is that launching products like that, does that come from, you know, you and your team, you know, from a yield point of view, and how do we keep people on the platform? Or does it come from, I guess, consumer demand? Hey guys, you know, can we be able to bet on XYZ? Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, how it works for us is we have a team, a trading team that basically put together all our markets. And nowadays in online sports betting, it's actually a global kind of game. So odds are kind of set at a global level. The market stabilizes once those odds are set, and then the world kind of trades the same type of odds. But as a brand, as Footingbit, we try to be as innovative as possible. And we do come up with those exotic type of bets. We normally, as a yield team, we put it to the trading team, ask them if it's possible to price up a certain event or outcome or market that's interesting, that there's consumer, that we anticipate consumer demand for. And if it's possible and there's enough data, then they normally do that. A good example for us is the SA elections that's coming up now. We have that on site. You can bet on it. There's a few exotic options. And we believe we're going to get a lot of interest out of it.
That's actually what you call this. That's actually a great one. I won't lie. I would not have anticipated that one, but that's what you call this, a good one. Maybe you could, for people that haven't been on the platform, obviously, this is already existing and it's public. What are some of the things that people can do there?
Well, you can bet on who's going to win the election. You can bet on who's going to win, excluding the ANC. You can bet on the percentage that each party is going to achieve, things like that. So there's, I think we didn't go too exotic with that one, but there's certainly a few nice options.
Okay, cool. Now that's actually, once again, another fascinating, I feel like I'm learning a lot, in this particular conversation. And it's particularly interesting from, I'm just going to call it, from my view, from a behavioral economics point of view. Right, like the types of things that people are interested in, the type of things that a person is willing to take risk on when it comes to odds, that's absolutely fascinating. The last part I want to maybe get more color on when it comes to the product development for you guys is, you guys are obviously, at least the description you gave us at the beginning, using data, to sort of decide for sporting bet what's working, what's not working, what are the new things that we can bring online, to keep people on the platform. Where are you guys in the ecosystem, as compared to maybe your traditional type of product or product development teams?
Well, Sportingbet is, we basically get our software and our platform from a global player. It's called Entain. They are one of the biggest in the industry globally. And they invest a lot of money and resource into making sure we have the newest cutting edge tools and options and markets. And yeah, I think that gives us a good advantage in the South African market. So I think from a product perspective, we are definitely up there with the best.
Okay, cool. Last two things on our side. Firstly, maybe as a way to bring everything together, we've spoken quite a bit about the online space, taking a dive into online casinos, that type of thing. We've spoken about, what are the popular sports, the fact that there's increased popularity, all of that. Where are we sitting on the regulation front? Because, there tends to be a lot of discussion, a lot of conversation, around people feeling safe, around exploitation, addiction, all of those things. Yeah. And also, if anyone has ever watched an American betting ad, I think the disclaimer at the end is longer, usually longer than the actual ad.
Yeah, that's true for the UK market as well. I think, in South Africa, well, certainly for Sportingbet, our belief is that more trust is more revenue. So we want to give our players a reason to trust us. So we licensed and regulated by the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board. There's a lot of rules we need to abide by. And that kind of differs from operator to operator. It depends on where you're licensed. In South Africa, you get provincial licenses. The rules are slightly different, but in general, the player is protected, and there's a lot of responsible gambling elements that we need to abide by. And we take that on board. We take it to heart because we believe if you have that trust, then you know, players will like you. They'll stick around, and at the end of the day, it'll mean more revenue for you. I think, you know, in terms of exploitation, I don't think that's happening in the market at all. There's a lot of tools that a player can use to make it safe for them to gamble. An example would be they can set deposit limits. They can set loss limits. That's all automatic on a platform. You basically just type in what you're willing to risk for a certain period of time, and the system would enforce that. Also, if you have you feel you're betting too much, you can exclude yourself for a certain period of time, so you can what we call cool off. And in that period of time, the platform won't allow you to place any bets. And if you feel that, you know, there is a problem in terms of gambling for you, then you know, if you reach out to us, we'll put you in touch with a responsible gambling program, which there's counseling and professional help.
Perhaps it's an unfair question because of what you do, right? But do you ever feel any tension between, obviously, you guys are in business, so it's not like you guys are not a charitable entity. So you guys are here to be in business. And what you've just explained now is simply to say, do you ever feel that tension between the need to keep people on the platform versus being able to at least make sure that people are behaving responsibly on the platform?
No, I don't feel that tension at all, to be honest with you. I think, you know, gambling is a form of entertainment. I don't think there's any exploitation that happens on purpose. I think a player decides what he's willing to risk. And within that framework, we make sure we throw the player as much as we can. We give the player as much entertainment as possible. And yeah, I don't think I have any, I feel very comfortable about what I do. Interesting stat is that most players would normally play at 3 to 4 operators. So it's not that you just play with one. And my job basically entails making sure that you only bet with us rather than split to spend over 3 operators. So it's not like my job is causing you to spend more in general, I'd say.
Yeah, you're basically, if someone was gonna spend, you know, R1,000 at 4 different you know, betting platforms, you'd rather that R1,000 be spent, you know, with yourselves,
exactly,
as opposed to, you know, only getting 250 or something,
exactly,
like that. All right, cool. So as we're ending off, Retief, I wanna peer into the crystal ball for a moment. And I love the fact that I am talking to the man that is, you know, whose job it is to dream about how to keep people on a platform, because you're also probably thinking about interfaces and, you know, all of this stuff and how, you know, people will interact. Going forward into the future, right? What is the future of sports betting, right? Does it continue happening, let's say, on my phone? That, you know, this is something that I do, you know, periodically in my spare time. Or, you know, as I'm watching a game, you know, I've got my phone in my hand and I'm placing, you know, bets perhaps for some of those more exotic things that we're talking about, that you said keep people engaged in the game, you know, that type of thing. Or on my smart TV, right, do I have like a sporting bet widget, you know, that just sits there? And as something is happening, I can just, you know, be clicking on something and doing things, you know, in real time.
Yeah, I think the market is definitely going to move in a direction of more engagement. So at the moment, it is possible to, you know, watch a live match and bet on your phone on live outcomes. So there's that level of engagement already. But I do believe it's going to become more interactive. Whether that's through media or whether it's through something like the metaverse or something like that, I'm not sure. I'm actually at a conference at the moment, and it's one of the topics I'm interested in hearing what the global players are saying is happening in the market. But I think the one thing that I can guarantee you is that it's definitely going to become more interactive. It's going to move away from what we're doing now, where you just use your phone to bet. It's going to become an integrated experience, I think.
All right. And then I think the last one, once again, still in this future of what you call this of betting, I'm going to spitball something to you and you tell me whether or not it has a potential in any way. So imagine a world where OpenAI has just brought out GPT-4o, which does a lot of multimodal inputs, simply that you've now gone beyond text. You can now speak to it. You can now use visual input. You can also still use your text input. So there's a sort of real world experience, factor that you're doing there. So you've got the generative capability. And I'm asking this because you guys are able to do, normal casino games, but also sports. And then, depending on what's going on in the, in society, elections is something that's happening, right? In this future world, am I able to maybe I'm actually just thinking about it right now. I am at a. I'm just trying to think of a. I'm just trying to think of a good example. Yes, I'm at a traffic light. I'm at a traffic light. There's a guy who pulls up in a Porsche, and there's a guy who pulls up in a Nissan GTR, right? And you can see these guys are about to race from one traffic light to another, and I'm maybe sitting in the middle. I whip out my phone and I say to my AI, this is Sporting Bet AI. Hey, Sporting Bet AI, can I place 50 Rand that the Porsche is going to win this race in the next 20 seconds? And then I whip out my phone and then, it's watching, obviously, because it needs proof. Yeah. It needs proof that this thing is happening. And then whilst this is happening, it's calculating odds and it's giving me, what my odds are, all of that stuff. The race happens. And then what I thought was going to be the outcome is the outcome. The Porsche wins. And then the AI is like, all right, great bet. You did your thing. I guess it's dynamic betting, in the real world. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a incredibly interesting, topic. I mean, I haven't thought about it like that. But I can see it from a data perspective. I can tell you in the future will probably become possible. I think there's enough inputs that you can, that AI can use to predict who's going to win the race. How soon that will happen, I'm not sure. But if that happens, then I'd probably be the first guy that wants to launch it in the South African market.
All right. So at least I know that my idea isn't completely, completely off. And that's where we end off today's discussion. It has been a really great, and fascinating discussion about the world of, sports betting and, that increase in attention, that increase in money going into that particular activity, in South Africa. And we're just talking to the team from Sporting Bet just around, what is that, looking like in the South African context. Retief giving us some insight into their business, which primarily happens online, giving us a lay of the land between, some of the things that the likes of Sporting Bet are able to do in the online space, where there's no limits of what's going on in the physical space. Some of the things that he was talking about is the fact that we do have a world where some of the drivers, that are helping to push up betting on the whole, there's increased awareness of, what's going on. And, that can be particularly true in an online space. Also, at the same time, we've got, growing sporting audiences. That was actually quite, you know, that tickled my interest, you know, just to understand the fact that obviously soccer continues to be the biggest sport that people are betting on, but you've got some of the surprises, you know, so basketball, you've got tennis. And then I think he said, you know, after that, you then see, you know, some of the sports like rugby, you know, then coming into the fray. So that's actually quite fascinating. And especially because when it comes to the, obviously, when it comes to something like soccer, people are betting a lot on what's going on in the international space. But it's the fact that you can have a sport like basketball, which isn't necessarily popular in South Africa, but it does draw big audiences from a betting point of view. That was one of the points that he made to say there isn't always a correlation between the popularity of a sport versus how much people are betting on it. Otherwise, you know, basketball and tennis would be outplaced by cricket and rugby. And also just talking about the fact that online casinos have done a lot to actually bring about, you know, greater audience, especially perhaps for people that are looking for something to bet on beyond just sports. And I think we had some great insight into the fact that we now have more women participating, you know, on Sporting Bets platform. And Retief just attributing, you know, part of that growth to the fact that you do have in the physical world, you know, greater proportion of women that are participating, you know, in the casino space, whereas sports and sports betting is still a largely, you know, male-dominated, you know, sort of space. And then just ending off talking about regulation, you cannot have a conversation like this without at least, you know, touching on some of those things, because once again, if you've ever listened to or watched any ad, you know, I'm glad that, you know, the disclaimers at the end of South African ads are much shorter than, you know, what they are, and at a slower pace than what they are in places like, you know, the US and the UK. And then at the end, just talking about the future of, you know, online betting and what, you know, we could possibly see, you know, myself just auditioning, you know, for a moment as a potential product developer, you know, in the sports world, what could, you know, the world of AI, you know, do for us. But I guess on that point, the thing that Retief ended off by saying is that greater engagement, you know, is probably going to be the name of the game. Some of the tools already are available on people's phones, but as we go forward, we wait to see what that world, you know, will look like. Is it going to continue being on the phone? Is it going to be a metaverse play? We wait to see. So that's been it. We're on conversation with Retief Ace, who is the head of Yield over at Sporting Bet. Retief, thank you so much for being with us today.
Diva, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.